Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Rawcast. This is the Enrique Special Edition Pod. And I'm joined by three other blokes that like to talk football because they've shown they're still here at this time of night. Ben Clark, how are you, sir?
Very well.
James Morris.
Welcome back. Where am I?
You're in my house, Ben.
Oh, okay, cool.
You're staying here forever now. And Adam Coleman, how are you,
sir? What? Oh, still recording, are we? Sorry, I had a micro nap.
That is the correct response. Yeah. We're here to talk about Enrique. We spoke in the previous, well, in the player reviews. We didn't discuss Enrique directly, but we will now because he's left. That's it for Enrique at Brisbane.
For the second and final time.
Enrique, just a summary for this year, 25 games, 13 off the bench, 24 games in the A-League itself, 3 goals, no bookings, yellow cards, red cards, or anything like that. To summarise his overall career at Brisbane, 176 appearances. That was the A-League total, was it?
No, that's total.
Okay, 45 goals, second top goal scorer in Brisbane Roar history.
To be fair, I don't think he was around much for ACL, so it is basically a pure A-League almost. Yeah.
Adam, what's your defining moment, defining memory of Enrique?
Well, funny stat here. He is the highest scoring Brazilian in the A-League. So take that, Bobo.
Yeah, in your face, Bobo. You sound like a clown.
Yeah, Bobo.
Yeah, and
stupid bear.
And Finkler.
That gets lost in this ocean.
Yeah. Is that it?
No.
All right, Adam's done on this podcast. Excellent.
You know, I think the defining moment for Enrique was he started the trend, which we don't really see a lot in modern football, of teams actually having a true bench weapon. You know, sometimes teams bring on these players to try to kickstart them when they're up or down, but he was a player who could swing results.
Well, we'll come back to that as well, because that's a little bit of, obviously, key information to run with. Ben, give us your overall impression of Enrique with his time at Brisbane. And
obviously, signed with, a little bit of pedigree from Brazil in the lower leagues there. When he first arrived, we thought, oh, this guy is, the close control, the eye for goal, they were all really notable from the start. And, he really from, after that first sort of season and a half, he really started to develop into that kind of superstar because, obviously we had a lot of attacking talent and, he kind of almost got that role by accident, but found him well. Mm. And really, it was his kind of attitude that made him excel in that role because he was always positive. He was always coming on with a point to prove. He was always coming on with so much energy, pace, technique that at the A-League level, he was just, he was a difference maker. And he made the difference in so many crucial games. And, that will be his legacy at this club.
Pricey.
Yeah, that was it. What Ben was just getting to there right at the end is just he was always there at the big moments. And that's why he'll live on in the fans that have been through this last period of 10 years, is he was always there in the big moments, right involved and scoring a crucial goal or doing something important into it. So, and that's what the legacy will be to me. Yeah. And he was quick. He was lethal. And, he didn't have a powerful shot by any stretch of the mean, but he was always knew where to put it. And that's why, and because of positivity.
Speaking of nowhere to put it, dick goals. No. those big moments you spoke about, and there's obviously three that really stand out. First goal against Central Coast.
Yeah.
To draw back to 2-1. Probably the less of that particular game, the less celebrated of the big moments, but without that, we're fucked anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it was such an important goal.
Cool, calm finish as well.
The penalty itself that scored us, that got us the trophy, and of course the winner against Western Sydney. If you were to rate those three moments, Adam Coleman, which one is the best and which one is the most important?
I'd have to say both of them would be the penalty because like that was the moment where from thereafter we had these significant achievements. Like if he misses that penalty, we might have still won it on penalties. But from that moment on,
it
changed
then.
Our fate.
Quick survey. Best out of those three, best moment and most important moment, Ben?
Best moment, winning penalty. Most important, 2-1 goal. I'm of the same opinion.
I think that's the goal against Western Sydney is amazing because it won us another grand final.
Of course.
But I think that has to be the order for me. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I was probably thinking the same, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is Adam's wrong.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Nice.
3 out of 4 Roll Coast hosts agree that Adam was wrong.
The one that said he wasn't is Adam Collins. As we go back all the way to the start, Frank Farina was actually the one that brought Enrique to the club initially on loan. And I think he actually started in a semi-final against Sydney. As an injury replacement player, but he eventually got signed as a permanent player shortly after that. We've spoken about his impact and kind of how that kind of built up over time and obviously became known as a bit of a super sub. That was great for Brisbane fans. We loved having a player that could make a difference off the bench. It's always something that you want as a player, as a supporter. The player itself, though, doesn't necessarily want to be a super sub. They want to be a starter. And it got to the point sometimes where he would start games and people would say he's not the starting player. He's better off the bench. And Enrique eventually really kind of got the shits with that and decided he had to leave.
He always seemed to come back. Like, he'd go to Brazil in his holidays in the off-season and he'd seem to come back and... He would look more like me than maybe a professional footballer.
A few too many Brazilian barbecues.
And that's where he probably let himself down. Then I think he'd try really hard to get back to fit. He'd injure himself. And that's why he never locked down one of those starting positions, I think. So there's never really a massive like season stretch where you'd say, oh, yeah, he was the starting left winger or right winger.
So, Ben, the overall sort of feeling, let's take your own personal perspective of this just very briefly. When you left Brisbane, it was that super sub. Obviously, he's had this massive impact in terms of those big games that we spoke about beforehand, those two finals in particular. What was your thoughts of when he left the club? Were you thinking, well, okay, he's left and we've lost a sub option, that's fine, or damn it, we've lost one of the best players this club's got at the moment?
Look, at the time, it was absolutely clear that, you know, he'd lost that yard of pace. He was getting his mentality at the time was, hey, like, I'm pissed off with not starting, and you know the mentality kind of suffered a little bit, and that was really the only time in his, you know, that kind of half season was really the only time we kind of saw his mentality kind of let him down, because that was his strength the whole rest of his time at the club. You know, it was, he didn't care if he came off the bench. He just wanted to make that impact whenever he was on the pitch. And, you know, he, for whatever reason, you know, he wasn't happy with that for that brief period. And, you know, left us for, you know, Adelaide for Thailand and, you know, found out that the grass wasn't really greener.
Well, you remember just before he left, he was obviously pretty shitty. He scored goals and not celebrating. Remember, he scored that amazing goal from just about halfway, catching the keeper out. And it wasn't him celebrating, I've just scored from halfway, which any player's like, fuck yeah, look at me, I just scored this amazing goal. It's like, nah, fuck it, I'm done. He looked shitty, he looked pissed off. And
I do wonder whether maybe a big part of it might have been he was probably offered a contract much less because he was only ever coming off the bench. Yeah. Like, I do wonder if like that was...
In his mind, he perceived himself as a starter, but... Aloisi kept, and managers would make him a bench player, and the fact is bench players don't get paid starting players' wages.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, like you said, Ben, he went overseas. He even played for Adelaide for half a season.
Half a season.
Yep, overseas in Adelaide.
Overseas in Adelaide. Found out
that... Over the air sea, man.
Yeah, the inland sea.
Yeah, well, Lake Ayres, lake. It's a body of water sometimes. Yeah. At the moment, it is anyway.
Yes, it is.
So he's played in Adelaide for a bit. He's left Adelaide. He took the Stephen Lustiger approach to Adelaide and got the fuck out. And came back after a bit of time off, partway through.
Because he definitely went last season. Was it Thailand or Malaysia who tried to go and play in, but didn't really do much?
He had two stints in Thailand with Chiang Rai and Jumpasri.
There you go. And he's, and I'll say obviously Adelaide after that as well, but then come back to Brisbane. Now, there's a few people, I dare say, correct me if I'm wrong here, that probably said, oh, we don't need Enrique to come back. It's bad to re-sign players and he's probably not going to be the right player for us to sign. I think in hindsight, that's probably a lot of BS. He's actually been a really good player for us, still is that attacking weapon off the bench.
Yeah, let's be honest. When he came back and signed, I thought it was kind of just, you know, it's essentially just... veteran presence in the locker room, you know, basically you know, wasn't going to contribute much on the pitch, was a bit of a, just signed as a bit of a mascot, as a bit of a, you know,
a feel good story.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
well, they actually came out and said, we're not, he was training with the club and said, we're not going to sign him. And then, like, a few days later, oh, we signed him.
Yeah. And then apparently he didn't press in training, like, you know, and he was all right that end of that season. And he got, you know, he's played on another year and, you know, he's contributed in bits and bobs. But, you know, it's clear, it was clear that he was one of those players that went
to. He started 12 games this year as well. Yeah. And I think.
A little bit
under half of what he's ended up playing, but probably more than what you would have expected for, you know, the season that we've just had.
And I think once he lost that yard of pace, then he wasn't quite the special player he was. And that was the thing, what made him such a good super sub was that, because once he did start to lose a little bit of pace, at least coming off the bench, the other players were tired. And what pace he did still have was still good enough to get him through. Yeah. And that's why working as a starter up against other fresh players, he didn't really have the tank to be able to push and, you know, do something magical, unfortunately. And that's where I was sore.
And another thing I think as well, like in the early seasons, he used his physicality to his advantage because he'd get a lot of fouls from the other much earlier defenders, whereas I almost feel like the referees almost like overcorrected and retconned so that in later years, you know, maybe they thought he was going down a bit too easily and maybe they sort of didn't want to give him the leverage, or he was legitimately now
too many changes in referees, I think, for that to be a factor. I think
they definitely kept a database on the number of times Enrico's fouled and definitely tried.
Well, they did know how many fouls Jared Gillett had given out in his career. So, maybe you're correct. Yeah. Maybe you're right.
That's right. There.
Let's talk about some of the other kind of Enrique-ish things. I mentioned Dick Giles beforehand.
Yes, he did, Dave.
He is probably one of the only players to fuck a ball into the net.
So it was less a tap in and more a tip in.
Yes. Most people forget that he was about 80%
Enrique was the first. He actually defines why we say get your tips in.
Yes.
Because he did exactly that.
He did his
tips. Just a tip.
That's Nate popping in there. Yeah. Nate, you know, podcast etiquette is to shut the fuck up when you're not on the show.
Am I the only person on those podcast etiquette that didn't shut up?
I shut up too.
Excuse me.
You're excused. You talked to him your time off. Let's talk about some of the other things that you guys enjoyed about his time at Brisbane.
I think like one of the
his
most
moments.
I think one of the most memorable to me was quite early on when he Antoine had just taken over and there was a fast breakaway and he literally jumped up and basically marked the ball AFL style on halfway, got a direct red card and went off to a standing ovation. And
I think it was protecting a one goal lead as well.
Yeah, I think it was. It was an important neighbour's drawing. I can't honestly remember. Yeah, you're right. But the context was important. He sacrificed himself for the team in the funniest way possible. I mean, any other player would have been like, you know, just a fly kick in the air. But for him, he had to pretty much stretch his hands up in the air to grab it. So
most players was a header.
Yeah, exactly. But no, little Enrique jumping up there and, you know, helping save the day and, standing ovation for him that day. So, that memory lives. That's my early fondest memory of
Adam, him. You're desperate to say something.
No, I was going to say another fun memory we had was after that first grand final and we actually got to hear him speak for the first time and he literally sounded like what he looked like. He just had this like light lilting English and it just sounded like the sweetest thing.
To be fair, for a player that's played at AFM like, what, 8 years, 9 years, his English is still pretty rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. It's got better. It's all right. It's not as bad as it once was.
It was pretty shocking at the start.
Yeah, there wasn't much of it at the start.
Ben, how high does him slapping Jacob Burns in the face rate as one of your Brisbane Roar SC moments of all time?
Look, it's pretty high up there.
Is it ahead of grand final wins?
No, but
close.
When we're talking non grand final moments, like that is it's a corker because every person in the A League wanted to slap Jacob Burns, and I'm pretty sure Enrique is the only bloke that did it. That wasn't, you know, another teammate of his in training.
The fact he's got a good foot on Enrique, and Enrique's still just like, nah, up yours, dickhead. Slap. It's just,
it was beautiful. Went down like an absolute sack of crap that he is.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
And,
pardon the pun, yes.
And look,
one of his other red cards in his career.
And let's be honest as well.
Yeah, he owns red cards.
And
doesn't do it by heart.
This is a common thread through both of the players that we're going to talk about in these special episodes. But, I think we can give a bit of a props to, our friend Andrew from Northern Element, who did coin the chant for. Yes. For Enrique, about him being only 4'5".
Never taking a dive.
And
he definitely started to take dives.
He did. He did.
So. I don't know. The song never lies.
but look, it was...
But we do love Enrique.
It's definitely going to be still in the chant rotation years down the track because he is one of those legends of the club. And that's, you know, it's not a playing moment, but it's certainly a fan moment that I'll...
It's one of the easiest chants when everyone gets involved in it. So it picks up so quickly, that song.
And I think that helped the super sub status, right? Because he'd come warm up and everyone starts singing the chant. The whole
energy that you'd get from it. You know, I think it's, you know, an indelible mark on his time at the club as well.
Right, so we're going to end this episode with a bit of a quiz on Enrique. And I've got five questions here. I'm going to keep tally, or else we'll get a chance to give a response. And if you're all right, then great, you'll get a point.
Is it David Dodd?
None of the answers are David Dodd. But the Enrique quiz. So there's only five questions. I'll start off with, which European club did Enrique join in 2003, failing to earn an appearance? Start with Ben.
Wow.
Start with Adam.
That would be Feyenoord.
Start with Price.
Porto.
Start with Ben.
Vitória Guimarães.
You'll find that Feyenoord is the correct answer. Well done, Adam.
Ding, ding, ding.
How many games did Enrique play in his loan spell before signing for Brisbane permanently?
Two.
13.
No, I think it was two as well.
Correct, it was two. Well done, Adam, and well done, Pricey. Ben, for a change, you're sucking at a quiz. which team, this is a multiple choice one, so which team has Enrique scored the most goals against? Central Coast, Perth Glory, or Western Sydney Wanderers?
Central Coast.
I'll say Perth Glory.
Well, I think it's one of those two. I'll go Central Coast as well.
Western Sydney Wanderers.
It is not Western Sydney Wanderers, Nate. It's piped down over there.
They came into the competition.
What did you say, sorry?
Perth Glory.
You said Perth and you said Central Coast. And you said Central Coast. It is Perth Glory with 8.
Wow.
Central Coast, hey, he scored 7 against. So, and Western Sydney Wanderers 3.
Yeah.
But probably one of the more important goals.
Tipping, mate.
Yeah.
Go get another box of goals.
True to form. Who did Enrique score his first A-League goal against?
Oof. Newcastle Jets. Oh, actually, we never scored against them. Probably know that.
Yeah, stick with that one. We'll come back to you then, if you want.
Adelaide United.
Wellington Phoenix, I have no idea.
Let's go Perth Glory since you scored the most.
New Zealand Knights.
Shut the fuck up, mate. None of you are correct. It's Melbourne Victory for that one. How many clubs has Enrique made a competitive appearance for during his career?
I'm going to go with 5.
This is according to Wikipedia, incidentally.
8.
Brisbane, Shanghai, Adelaide, 3.
It's 9. Plenty of loan spells before he went to Brisbane.
I didn't know that.
I'm going to give you half a point, Ben, because you're within 1. And I feel bad I got none otherwise. So well done, Adam. You're the winner of the Enrique quiz with 3 points to Price's 1 and Ben's half a point.
Controversial half a point.
So do I win Enrique's contract for next year?
That half a point's to make up for that tipping one that he had last time.
Adam Coleman.
He's only 6'5". Coleman. He'll break his legs if he dies. That's, I don't know.
And that's how we're going to wrap up the episode. So thank you, Enrique Andrade Silva. All the best in your retirement.
Thank you very much, Enrique. You are a true club legend. It will only be a matter of time before you're in the Hall of Fame, in my honest opinion. And from the Rawcast to you, thank you very much. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us for the show.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys very shortly for the Matt McKay tribute special as well.